Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, and today we're paying tribute to one of the most beloved movie stars of all time, Judy Garland. My producer, Nikki Starr, and I are honored to have Lorna Luft, one of Judy's talented daughters and an accomplished performer in her own right, as our special guest. We'll also be hearing from film critics James Cole Harrison and Diana Sanger, both avid Judy Garland fans. I'm very excited and psyched up about the opportunity to talk with Lorna Luft. But before bringing her on, I want to remind listeners about her impressive background. She's won acclaim on stage, film, and she's also a best-selling author, recording artist, and Emmy-nominated producer. Her book, Me and My Shadows, Living with the Legacy of Judy Garland, was turned into a riveting miniseries, and Lorna served as co-executive producer on that project, which won 5 Emmy Awards. Another of Lorna's outstanding accomplishments is Songs My Mother Taught Me, a spectacular concert, and the CD based on this event was released last year on First Night Records. What a treat for me to welcome Lorna Luft to Movie Addict Headquarters. Hi, Lorna.
Hi, thank you so much.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you on our show, and
thank you
so much for agreeing to be our guest. But,
oh, thank you.
But before getting started, James Cole Harrison wants to say hello to you. James wrote a history of MGM, and that's the studio where your mother made so many wonderful films. James, I know you have a welcome of your own for Lorna, so now's your chance.
I sure do. It's sort of like getting back with her again because we've met a couple of times for interviews, and she was so charming and so forthcoming and so down to earth that it's a pleasure to talk to stars who are like that. So, Lorna, I give you a great big kiss.
Oh, thank you.
And when James gives you a kiss, you know you've been kissed. So thanks, James. And Diana.
I don't say that to every star, believe me.
I know. You just save it for special ones. And Diana Sanger from Classic Movie Guide is also here. Hi, Diana. Say hello to Lorna.
Hello, Lorna. Thank you
Hi,
so much
nice
for
to
joining us today.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
And thank
I
you
am.
For keeping your mother's name and spirit and forever in our memories.
Oh, thank you so much.
I am just so happy that we could all be together today. And I wanted to start, Lorna, with this question. How did your mother influence your career as an actress and entertainer?
Well, you know, I think that when you grow up in a household of amazing talent and sort of the family business, you learn how it's done the right way. I watched my mom, and whenever she was on a stage, she gave 110%, and when she did the same in her films and her recordings and her radio concerts. And I think you just pick up on that. I think you just know where you come from.
I think that's a great answer. I can't imagine being around Judy Garland and knowing her personally and then being her daughter and not picking up on some of that
Yeah, but you see, I didn't know any different.
Oh, that's right, because you thought everybody had a mother like Judy Garland, right?
Well, no, I just didn't. As I said, I didn't know any better. So, I mean, meaning I didn't know anything different. I didn't know, you know, that's where I came from. So it was
so
my normal.
This was your the only thing for you to do. But I was wondering what your favorite Judy Garland films and performances are.
You know, I don't have a favorite because that would make all the others not my favorite. So I think each and every one of my mother's, you know, amazing accomplishments in her career, basically, you know, there's a favorite part of all of them.
I think that's a very good answer, Lorna. I have the feeling that someone has their speakers on. So if anyone does that, we need to turn them down. I'm getting just a little bit of bad sound here. But I think we should ask James and Diana about their favorite Judy Garland films and performances. James, you want to start?
Well, where do you start? As Lorna says, you know, every film has something great in it. But I think if I were pushed, I'd have to say the little black and white musical she made with Mickey Rooney, like Babes on Broadway and Strike Up the Band, Babes in Arms. Those were my favorites. I just loved those. They were so sweet and innocent and you know, everybody was nice, and it was like a fantasy world. Of course, it was MGM. Everything was a fantasy there. But those were the films that influenced me growing up.
Those were great. Those were great films. What about you, Diana?
Well, he stole my thunder. Those are my favorites, too, because
yours, too.
She was so fun, and you could tell she was having fun, so we were having fun watching her. Just this, you know, effervescent joy that always came out of her was just wonderful. But, you know, of course, I love The Wizard of Oz, as everybody does. I also really liked Meet Me in St. Louis a lot.
Hmm. Those were great too, and I certainly have to agree with you about her performance as Dorothy Gale in The Wizard of Oz.
Can I interject something?
Yes, please.
I think the reason that everyone loved her so much before The Wizard of Oz and all the black and white films is because you thought you knew her.
Yes, that's it exactly.
You were convinced that you had known this person because of her honesty. And because in every single performance, her honesty, her talent was just so real and so genuine that's why everybody thought that, you know, she really were, you know, they could relate to all of the characters that she played. If it wasn't the girl next door, if it was, you know, Aunt Mickey Rooney's friend and all the Andy Andy Hardy things. You just thought that you knew her. She was so accessible.
Oh,
yes,
I think that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. I always felt that, you know, I could just walk right up to Judy Garland and, you know, just start talking with her like she was a friend. And
yeah, because she was accessible.
Exactly.
And that's what made everyone fall in love with her, whether you were, you know, a kid or whether you were watching films as a teenager, whether you were an older person, you went to her movies and you thought, I know that person.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly right.
I
find it hard to pick a favorite movie too, but I cannot not mention The Wizard of Oz again with what Diana said, because I have never seen such a heartwarming film performance in my life as the one that she gave as Dorothy Gale.
Well, I think it's just extraordinary that the performance that she gave, you would think that The Wizard of Oz, when you look at it, because it became such a, you know, an international, unbelievable, legendary film, that it had so many problems to begin with. It had, you know, four directors, and it had numerous writers, and it had numerous things that went on with the film that you would have never known unless you'd read the books about the making of The Wizard of Oz. And so basically, I just think it was always sort of extraordinary because, you know, I know how many directors I have worked with at one time, never mind working with four, never mind having everything change, never mind all of the things that happened on The Wizard of Oz, and that is a tribute to all of them, not only my mom, but every single character and every single actor in the film is just absolutely believable, and that's what makes the film work, is because you believe, and you believe every word they say, and you believe every song that they sing, and you believe the story. And the story is so simple. It's, you know, the story of home, heart, courage, and knowledge. I mean, who doesn't relate to that?
Well, that's for sure, and thank heavens, the filmmakers.
And love, you know. So, I mean, that's what the film is based on. When people ask me all the time, why do I think that it's lasted so long? Because it was a brilliantly made film with an incredibly simple message that everyone can relate to.
Exactly.
There's no place like home.
Exactly, and thank heavens the filmmakers changed their minds about cutting over the rainbow from the finished production.
Well, that was really, that was Arthur Freed really going to bat and saying, you know, if you don't put that song back in, I'll take my name off of it. And he really, Arthur Freed was such a wonderful champion of my mom, and Harold Arlen and Yip Harburg's score is so brilliant and simple and complicated and everything else. I mean, it's just everything in the movie is really, I'd say it's the most perfect movie ever made.
I would go along with that. I'm sitting here and looking at the poster, and it inspires me every day when I sit down to work here. It's actually more than a movie, but I think that Judy Garland is the one. Everybody had a part in it, but I think Judy is the one that made it something so very, very special. But
well, I think because of her unique vulnerability and her honesty, and you really did believe that, you know, that Dorothy was this wonderful, you know, wide-eyed child that just wanted to find a better place. And I think all of, you know, you wouldn't have believed it if they had chosen anyone else. I mean, it was just a real, it's a real tribute to my mother as an actor. And also all of the other characters. I mean, Bert Lahr's performance in that movie is truly,
it's wonderful,
but every single one in the movie is wonderful.
Yes,
and
perfect.
I'm, as you all know, I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm about to go do it on stage this whole winter in England.
Really?
Wow. Yes, I'm going to play Maggie Hamilton's role. I'm going green for the winter, and I'm playing the Wicked Witch.
Oh, I wish we could see it.
Oh, I know, but you're going to have to come all the way to Manchester, England to do it. So I am going, you know, it's a very chic and very in thing to be green. Well, I'm going green for the winter.
Oh, that's great.
I love that. Oh, I think that's going to be, what a wonderful experience for you.
Well, I think it's going to be fun because, I mean, it's not going to be fun taking on and putting on all that green makeup because I've already done it once. And let me tell you, it's not a day out at the park. But, I've stayed away from it, and when they called me and asked me to do it this winter, and because I knew Margaret Hamilton and I'd met her several times and she was such a lovely and nice and wonderful woman, I thought to myself, wait, it's second generation Oz, and why not? And go have some fun, and I get to fly, and I get, it's going to be an absolute, I mean, I know that my mom would be sitting there just being hysterical laughing.
I'll bet she would.
Is this an adaptation of the film or the stage show Wicked?
No. It has nothing to do with Wicked.
Okay.
A while ago, the Royal Shakespeare Company did a really great version of the movie on stage, and that's basically what it is. In a way, they've taken more, with the RSC Company, they've taken more of the book. But we just, I was just in England a couple of days ago, and they did a sort of a Dorothy Idol, where all of Northern England came out to try to be the Dorothy. And it was a very, very hard choice, and we chose a girl who was 16.
Wow.
Because it's so important. I've seen productions of the show on stage, and when they pick a 21, 22-year-old person for Dorothy, you know it. And
not
so
right.
My mom was 15 and finished the movie when she was 16, so we picked a 16-year-old, because there is an innocence and a wonderful wide-eyed quality. And as we all know, and maybe your listeners know, the original Dorothy in the book was a lot younger.
Oh, yes.
L. Frank Baum's book of The Wizard of Oz.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Young girl. Yeah.
But Judy had the, I mean, she just had that youthful vulnerability and she just fit right in. Well, this is great good news to hear about your trip to England. So I hope you'll keep us posted on that.
Well, I'll be a little busy.
Right. We'll watch the press on
it. There you go.
Right. And speaking of the book, I wanted to ask you about your wonderful book, The Me and My Shadows, Living with the Legacy of Judy Garland.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to write that, and what did you think of Judy Davis's performance in the TV adaptation?
I wrote my book because I'd been asked so many questions over and over and over and over and over again every single time that I, you know, went out of the house, basically.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I've come to peace with my legacy, and I had, you know, I'd run away from it for so long, and I did everything not to face my shadows. I dyed my hair purple and sang rock and roll and did all sorts of, you know, interesting things. And then I sat down and I said, you've got to make friends with the ghost. You really do. And that's when I began to really research where I'd come from. Why did I do certain things? What am I going to tell my children?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because a friend of mine, who's a wonderful girl, Patty Davis, who's, of course, her father was Ronald Reagan and her
right.
mom is, you know, the wonderful Nancy Reagan. And she said to me, and I always give her credit, she said, you don't really get to know your parents until you're in your 40s. And it really
mm-hmm.
was true for me because you sort of making your own footsteps in the sand in your 20s and your 30s, you're having your children in your 40s, you really look back and think to yourself, what am I going to tell my children? What am I going to tell myself? So that's what I did, and that's why I wanted to write the book. I wanted to write the book, and I wrote my book going back into how I felt then, because
yeah.
I think that's what you have to do for the reader. You have to write it from a point of view of when you felt, when you were, you know, 11 and 12 and 13, and, you know, when you first begin to, you know, realize who you are as a youngster and all of that. You know, when people write books and they say, when I was three, I remember, you think, no, you don't. You don't remember when you were three. You know, when you were eight, yeah, I'll buy it. Three, I'm not buying it. But I that's why I wrote the book. I wrote it so that that my children would have something to read. Their children would understand their legacy. I wrote my book because hopefully I can give another adult or a teenager or another child who has the disease of addiction in their home the reality of there is help out there and you can do this. And that unfortunately there wasn't help for my mom, but there was help for me. And
yes.
So that's one of the reasons that I wrote my book, so that people who were maybe thinking that they were in a tunnel and there is no light, that maybe they could pick up my book and read it and say to themselves, my gosh, you know, there is light and there is a way out and there is some kind, maybe it will give a hopeless person hope. So that's why I wrote the book. And then when it was turned into the miniseries, I mean, I was so, you know, I was so much on board with my producers, Craig Zaden and Neil Marin, and we were the ones who cast Judy Davis from the very beginning. We never thought of anybody else because she's an extraordinary actor, and she's fearless, and she's wonderful, and she is just, she was a clean slate. You know, she's Australian, so she didn't know too much about my mom. She didn't grow up in America, and she didn't, you know, grow up, you know, watching all of the things that maybe an American actor had watched. And that's why we chose Judy Davis. And Tammy Blanchard was just extraordinary also. And she was just an unbelievable asset. I mean, everyone in the movie. It's a movie that I look at the five Emmys, you know, and I think to myself, we did a great job. And it was something that my mom would have been proud of. And I know that, you know, listen, to be nominated for 13 Emmys, win five, I'm not complaining.
Oh, who would complain
Absolutely.
About that? And it
I'm
was.
Not complaining. I'm not. But, you know, it was, you know, one of the greatest awards that we won that I loved more than anything is when we won the Critics Award.
Yes.
Because I knew that the critics were gunning for, you know, us. Because, you know, sometimes these biopics come out and they're not very good. And I said to my director and everybody at ABC, and everybody who was on board. I said, if we don't make this special, you know, you all will go on to other things, but this is my life on the line here, meaning that, like, they will always remember me. And everybody was on it for the right reason, and that's why it came out so special, and that's why to this day people come up to me and they say, that was the most amazing miniseries I've ever seen, and all I can say is thank you to everyone who loved it, enjoyed it, and, you know, who still, you know, goes out and buys the DVD and all of that of it.
Oh, it was riveting, absolutely riveting. Didn't you think so, James and Diana?
Absolutely. I think you really tapped into the whole persona. One of the personas of your mother was fearless. And like you said, that came across so well, and it's something that, you know, she lived her life with that, bless her heart.
Yeah, I mean, she was also fearless, but she was also incredibly strong. And she was incredibly funny, and she was giving, and yes, she was a victim. She was a victim of the studio system at that time. And I wanted to make sure that I told all the stories. If I didn't tell A, I couldn't go right to Z. And that's why it was so important that it was done in the right way.
And it was done in the right way. Don't
you
agree, James?
I do agree. I read the book and saw the miniseries, and I have to say that I thought young Tammy Blanchard was a phenomenal actress.
Yeah, she was phenomenal, wasn't she?
Just absolutely wonderful. I had never seen her before, and I thought, where did you find her?
That was a brilliant performance, I agree.
Yes,
but it's tough
great.
For anyone to stand in for Judy Garland in my book, but I was really just glued to the TV when I saw that miniseries. And
yep.
I wonder if we could move now to another one of your amazing projects. And the one I'm talking about is Songs My Mother Taught Me. Could you tell us a little bit about that, Lorna?
Well, this is a show that I did 9 years, almost 10 years ago that we did this show. And for my entire life, people wanted me to sing my mom's songs, and I never wanted to do them. I never wanted to go near them because they were frightening. They were overwhelming. They were just too big. And once I had written the book and then I had done the miniseries, and everyone said, when are you going to, you know, be able to pay tribute to this music? And I thought, I can do that now. I can do that. And one of the first people I called, my best friend, and I'm so lucky, has for the last God only knows how many years, has been Barry Manilow. And I called him and I said, I think I'm ready to do that. And I was expecting to hear a very, very long, long, you know, speech about this. He said, oh, it's about time.
That's Barry.
Yeah. Oh, just cut to the chase. And, you know, I was so lucky because he then introduced me to two incredibly talented writers, Ken and Mitzi Welch, who had written all the Carol Burnett shows. And we sat down and, you know, 6 months later came up with a show that we've still been doing to this day. And we're incredibly proud of it. And then last year I was so lucky to go into the recording studio, not only with my talented husband, but with Barry, and we recorded the CD of Songs My Mother Taught Me, and I'm really proud of it. And it's finally out there, because people kept asking me when can we have it, and it took a long time because, you know, I wanted it to be done in the right way, and I wanted it to be also something that I had lived with for a long time and that I was comfortable with and that I could share with the audience. And the people who have bought the CD, I get calls all the time saying that how much they enjoyed it, and I'm just very, very grateful, and I thank everybody.
Well, you know, we have put on the site of Movie Addict Headquarters the cover of Songs My Mother Taught Me, and so I'm encouraging the listeners to click on that cover, and it'll take you right over to Amazon.com, and you can order that CD. And
mm-hmm.
Lorna, I think you've been gracious enough to give us permission to play a little selection from that CD. And do you want to tell us a little bit about the selection we're about to hear?
Well, I think it's a mother-daughter medley. And,
great.
As I said, it's something that Ken and Mitzi, myself, my husband, we put together, and through the genius of technology now, were able to, you know, put two orchestras and put her voice and my voice and together. And of course, you know, I'm not the first to do this. I think Hank Williams Jr. was really quite the first, and then Natalie Cole did it, and I think Lisa Marie Presley has done it now, and I think a lot of people have been able to do this. And what a wonderful thing that we're able to do that. How wonderful that we're able to sing with our loved ones and put this out to the public and be able to fill a void that the public wants and they be able to say, we can do this now, because they're not here anymore.
I know. I think this is just terrific. So we're going now to hear this mother-daughter medley, and thanks to my wonderful producer, Nikki Starr, for helping us to get this to the show. I'm going to click on now, and here is the mother-daughter medley.
I can't give you
I absolutely love it. Now, that Judy Garland tribute show aired back in September of 2008, but Jazz Shaw and Nikki Starr are with us today, and I'd like to hear from them now. Jazz, what are your reactions to Lorna's interview?
Well, she's a great interview. It's an interesting story. You and I discussed this last year at one point. Judy Garland is one of those stars that I was always very conflicted about. Probably because I read some of the biopics that were done from other people, like Jack Warner of Warner Brothers Studios, and she just seemed to have one of those really tumultuous careers. I mean, I might have been prejudiced, I think, because I first watched Wizard of Oz when I was such a young child, and I had nightmares for my entire life over those flying monkeys, you know? and it was very frightening for a child. But she certainly had a body of work, and some of it was quite good. Meet Me in St. Louis, you know, really memorable stuff. Some of the later things, like Star Is Born, Jack Warner told stories about how that whole project, even though it ended up being award winning, it was almost canceled a couple of times during the production because they had such a hard time getting Judy Garland to show up for work, and she ran into a lot of difficulties later in life. So, yeah, it was a tumultuous life well lived, I guess, and, of course, it ended very short.
Yes, she was only 47, and I know what you mean about being conflicted. Judy in her private life was certainly a victim of the studio system at that time and the pressure that she was under from a very, very young age, and it's just amazing that she was able to give the fantastic performances that she did. She left us, I think, about, well, maybe 32 films, 30 or 32 films, and most of them are just worth seeing over and over again, especially The Wizard of Oz. How about you, Nikki? Any reactions that you'd like to share?
Well, The Wizard of Oz is the only one of her movies I've ever seen, and, of course, I loved it, and I did not have nightmares. Maybe because I was older, I think the first time I ever saw it, I was around 15. not because of the timing, but just because I had never seen it. You know what I mean? So at 15, you're not usually, you know, cursed by...
Yeah, I think I was like 5.
Yeah. I don't know that it's really appropriate for 5-year-olds, actually, even now, because it can be scary. But I think she's fabulous. I think the interview was wonderful. I loved the mother-daughter relationship. Clearly, Lorna adored her. In the chat room, we, you know, as everybody was talking, Jean on the scene said that, well, actually somebody, I'm pretty sure it was Jean, said that Judy had said that Lorna was her child with the most beautiful voice. I love technology that they could put them together. You know, to me,
absolutely.
It was just amazing.
Well, absolutely, and we feel so fortunate that we were able to have that medley, and thank you, Nikki, for helping us to get it and to get it posted to our switchboard so that we would be able to enjoy it. I also want to thank the listeners in our chat room for their comments about Lorna and Judy. We have so many Judy Garland fans there, and it's interesting that the favorites seem to be The Wizard of Oz is not mentioned as often as I thought it would be. There's some disagreement with you about A Star is Born, Jazz. That seems to be a big favorite. I think Judy should have gotten the Oscar for her performance instead of
Grace Kelly
that year.
Groucho Marx called her in the hospital after the awards ceremony and said that it was the biggest robbery since he listed some fantastic robbery of the time, like one of the James brothers or something like that.
I agree.
But you know what? Here's another thing for you and the listeners to think about. I think not only a victim of the studio system, but Judy Garland was also, in a way, she was a victim of a lack of regulation and supervision in the medical industry and doctors and things at the time, when things were much looser, and she had access to Seconal without having proper doctor supervision and all that, and nobody really looking after her in those terms, and no idea what she was doing, you know, to herself. And I think that was kind of a crime, too. And later on, things got better for people. But she was in a very unregulated era where, you know, things could just get out of control and there was nobody there to advise her.
Well,
that's
it's
a
not
very,
that
very
much
good
more
point.
Regulated. I'm just gonna throw this out there. It's not that much more regulated now. If you have money, you get what you want, or
somewhat
you need,
more
but...
in terms of prescriptions and things now. And back then, they were just given
true.
Out like candy, you know, and that was you know, dangerous.
Absolutely, and I just admire Lorna so much for saying that there wasn't the kind of help back when Judy needed it that people have today. And so Lorna is doing what she can to help people with addiction problems. But I did want to mention three other movies that came up in the chat room when I was able to be there with them, which I really enjoyed. The Harvey Girls, which I had almost forgotten about, and which was very serious and no music, and Judy got a supporting Oscar nomination for that. And The Clock, which was she just looked absolutely lovely in that. That was another drama. Well, now, during these last few minutes, I promised our listeners that I would bring everyone up to date on Lorna's activities since she was on our show. She's been very busy indeed. After appearing as the Wicked Witch of the West in that UK version of The Wizard of Oz that she talked about, she completed a 2009 UK tour in the play Pack of Lies and also celebrated the music of Judy Garland on a special BBC television show. Then in 2010, she teamed up with Carol Channing for a show at the Riviera in Palm Springs. And in January of this year, 2011, Lorna brought her Songs My Mother Taught Me production to Feinstein's in New York. And this month, which is March, she participated in a New York Pops concert celebrating the anniversary of her mother's very famous Carnegie Hall show. Plus, she was one of the commentators on ABC's Best in Film TV show, where The Wizard of Oz was selected as the second best film of all time right after Gone with the Wind. Well, I personally would switch those around. And I laughed while watching the show when Lorna talked about how Judy didn't like being close to Toto while singing Over the Rainbow
because of the dog's very bad breath, and I had never heard that before, never heard Lorna talk about that before. Among Lorna's upcoming projects is a December concert in Winnipeg, Canada. So I wish that I could make it up to Winnipeg, Canada for that. Well, I see it's time to wrap things up now. So thanks to Lorna Luft, James Colt Harrison, and Diana Sanger for entertaining us once again. And Judy was certainly part of that entertainment. Special thanks to Nikki Starr, Jazz Shaw, and all the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support, as well as to our wonderful chatters and other listeners. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. Please come back next time for another spirited discussion about movies. In the meantime, don't you forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. Now here's the talented A.J. Daniels to take us out with a song dedicated today to the wonderful Lorna Luft and the iconic Judy Garland. Bye for now, movie fans. See you next time.